Good morning. It's great to be here this morning and to gather together with all of you to lift high the name of Jesus Christ in praise. And it is an honor for me now just to have a moment and introduce our speaker for this morning. I know that many of you have been praying since that fateful October 7th day where God's people in Israel were brutally attacked, and I know that many of you have been gracious and generous here in this church by giving to this church and help supporting some of the needs over there that we have had the privilege of doing so through our dear brother who's with us this morning. And so why don't I do this and just go ahead and introduce to you Pastor Amir's father, Eitan, my dear friend of 35 plus years, and he's going to come and share God's word with us this morning.
Thank you. See the small picture? The Beauty and the Beast. You know, we came here a little bit more than a week ago with a heavy heart, you know, because of what happened with Nicole. And we came to the church here, and it was a blessing for us to see the church dealing with this hard time in a godly way. So it was a blessing for Orit and for me. Thank you so much. And definitely it was an exploration to see the family, you know, the peers and the Kashtans, you know, dealing with all this in such a God-honoring way. And we came here to encourage, and we are leaving tonight very encouraged, very blessed, seeing that the salvation that we have and the Lord that we have, it's not a theory, it's not a religion, it's life. And thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to experience it. And today, we're going to talk about a prophet. His name is, you call him Habakkuk. It's not his name, by the way. His name is Habakkuk. I will try to say Habakkuk from time to time so you don't lose connection, but it's not his name. His name is Habakkuk. He's one of the minor prophets. You can find him there. So if you want, it may take some time. So let's use the time right. Try to find a book somewhere in the middle of the minor prophets. And we're not going to study about him, but we're going to talk about him a little bit. And he lived in a time that the nation of Israel experienced really tough time. They had then... two main problems. The first one was a real moral and leadership crisis. So the nation that was chosen to bring light to the world, light to the nations, did not behave like such. And by the way, how come it's 36 minutes already? I just started. And it's running faster than I used to. Okay. Well, second service, we have no limits, huh? Our flight is tomorrow at noon. No problem. So they had a real moral issues. We'll talk about it in a minute. And a leadership crisis. And that brought a real dilemma to the life of Habakkuk. And the same dilemma is coming to Aaron lives from time to time. And this is the dilemma. When we see a big gap between what we experience and what we expect. Now, we have great expectations from God and from our belief, and then reality doesn't match the expectation, and we don't know what to do. And sometimes the gap is between what we know about God and what we see around ourselves. And it doesn't match well. And we come to a dilemma and we start to ask, why, Lord? Why? And I want to tell you that I was speaking with the youth group, the two youth groups last Sunday, and the topic was why bad things happen to good people. And I'm so glad that I could come and tell them the answer, and they told them that I don't know. I told them that I have no answer to the question. It's much above me. And just listen to what, to the cry in the heart of Habakkuk, because he asked why. How can it be? And we ask, right? We ask, why, Lord, why our politics are so dirty? And why we have so many enemies that want to eliminate us? Why can't we trust that the election will be fair and honest? Why? Why, Lord, the wicked have success while our life is so hard? Why do we suffer from sickness and depression and loss while our cruel neighbor having fun? Why, God? Why my boss? Why my spouse? Why my children? Why my parents? Why doesn't it work like we expect it to work? That's the dilemma. And God in his goodness allow us to look into Habakkuk's heart and to see a little bit about the way that he deals with the dilemma. I tell you, it's a real dilemma. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. And the first thing that Habakkuk find hard to explain is, God, how come you are doing nothing? So your nation is immoral, there so much problems, how come you are doing nothing? And that's what he says. He says, how long, O Yahweh, will I call for help and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence. Violence, by the way, in Hebrew is Hamas. So, I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see wickedness and cause me to look at trouble? Indeed, devastations and violence are before me, and there is strife, and contention is lifted up. Therefore, the law is ignored, and justice never comes forth. For contention is the law is ignored, and justice is never comes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore justice comes forth perverted. You see the dilemma? Can you see the problem here? Habakkuk look at his nation, say, whoa, this is so corrupted. And he tells God, well, God, I did anything I can. I called you, I cried to you, I prayed, I sent you text messages, WhatsApp, TikTok. I did anything I can. And you never answer me. You just let it go. So frustrating, huh? It's so frustrating when we obey the law and the people around us do whatever they want, but they don't pay a price for what they are doing. We pay the price for what they are doing. Right? We try to pay taxes because we know if we pay taxes, we will get some services from our government. But if other people do not pay taxes, the government will not give us the services that we paid for because it cannot. And if he would not punish them, it's frustrating. Government make so many rules because of criminals, and the criminals are the only people that never obey the rules. Right? That's the story. That's always the story. And that's the problem that the prophet sees. And he says, well, the practical result is that if you have a law and you are not enforcing the law is going to lose its validity. It has no meaning anymore. Just imagine that the police would announce that they will not enforce speed limit anymore. Whew, it could be so much fun. Right? none of us will keep the law, because when nobody enforces the law, you don't keep it. And that's exactly the problem that Habakkuk sees with God's law. Said, God, you gave a law, I keep it. Some people keep it, but those that do not keep it, they do not pay the price, and therefore the law is ignored and it's losing its meaning. And there is no hope. And when this happened, the next thing that will happen, the next thing that's happening, is that the wicked surround the righteous, right? If we want to do something good and want to move on, we cannot, because the wicked will always be in our way. It happens anywhere, even in the church. I don't think that in this holy church, but in other churches it happens. You see, when you are not enforcing the law, you cannot really move. You cannot do something, because the wicked will always be in your way. And then you can go to the court, to the court of justice, to find out that this is not as good as it used to be. Right? So it really depends who you are and how you can talk. And Habakkuk says that justice comes forth perverted. Is that true to our countries? Today, to America, to Israel? Is that a good picture of what's going on now? In the survey that was made in Israel before the war, it shows that 80% of the people of Israel do not believe politicians, from both sides, by the way. 62% of the Israelis do not believe that the court of justice brings justice. It means that when I go on the street and the wicked person can get me and can beat me, because he's wicked, so he's stronger, I cannot even go to court and to expect to have justice there. So all that I have is to go back to the Lord, right? It's all that I have. By the way, Isaiah says, in Isaiah 5:20, it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." That's our society today. That's exactly our society. So if you help somebody, you're stupid because you don't use your resources right. And if you keep family values, you are primitive. If you're against killing babies, against abortion, so you become a women's hater. Right? You see how we change what is right and what is wrong? And in fact, we ourselves, we do the same. We teach our children, go to school, study well, so you will have good work, and you will make a good living, and you will have good life. Is that the message that the Bible gave us? Do we tell our children, go to school, study well, have a good profession, make enough money that you can help others? So, that's all the difference. That's the main problem. That's the dilemma. How come we became this kind of society and God does nothing about it? How does he sit there indifference like nothing happened? That's a dilemma. And why does he stay silent? The answer is, I don't know. I don't know. I'm glad you came, otherwise you would never know it. I don't know. So Habakkuk has two questions in mind. First, how come we, the chosen people, became so bad? How can it be? Second, since it happened, God, where are you? How come you are not there to fix it? And God gave an answer. It does give an answer, and the answer is, I definitely do something about it. Here is what it says. It says, see among the nations, and look, be also astonished, be astoned, because I'm doing something in your days you would not believe if it was recounted to you. For behold, I am raising the Chaldeans, the bitter and hasty nation, who walks on the breadth of the land to possess dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justices, exaltation come forth from themselves. I just jump a little bit further. And they gather captives like sand, and they mock at kings, and rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up dirt and capture it. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on. But they will be held guilty, they whose power in their God. This is God's answer. I don't think that Habakkuk is happy with the answer. It's not what he was looking for. But God basically says, well, Habakkuk, I'm here, and I'm going to deal with it. And when I do it, it will be severe, very severe. When I take care of it, it will be very severe. And people and nations will be astonished. Why? Because God says, I'm going to use, he says, a bitter and hasty nation. I tell you something, we know something about it. We do know what does it mean that God uses bad nations to fight. I tell you, now there are wars in the world. Nothing is compared to what's happening in the Middle East. Nothing. We'll talk about it later. And many times I would think it would be better if our enemy would be Sweden, right? Or Switzerland could be better. But the way that God described this bitter and hasty nation makes Iran look like a small poodle dog, right? This is a big deal, what they are doing there. So now, we have a new dilemma. First, Habakkuk says, how can you be indifferent? Now he says, God, why do you use those wicked people against us? Maybe you can use somebody else. And when Habakkuk gets into it, he first acknowledges something very important. By the way, this is the beginning for his answer. But he says this. He says, are you not from everlasting, O Yahweh, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. You, O Yahweh, have placed them to judge, and you, O Rock, have established them to reprove. Your eyes are too pure to see evil, and you cannot look on trouble. You see the answer? No, the rest of it is on the screen. You see, Habakkuk understands. You know, there is something that I know here in my head. I cannot see it around me, but I know in my head. And I know that you are from everlasting my God. By the way, he's not my God just since I was born or since I was saved. He's my God from everlasting, right? It says, I know that we will not die, and I know that you are too holy to see sin. So then he continues, why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? How can it be? And then it says, and you have made men like the fish of the sea, like creeping things without ruler over them. You see, that's his feeling. Like a fish in the sea that somebody trying to catch him, and they cannot run away anymore. So yes, he tries to deal with the dilemma in his ways. He says, okay, God, I know that you are my God. I know your promises. I know we will not die. No, we celebrate it today. We will not die. Jesus died for us. We will not die. Does it solve all the problems? No, it doesn't. So this call, you are from everlasting, O Yahweh, my God, my Holy One, we will not die, sounds so clear, so simple, right? But I want to tell you, I can understand what's going on in the mind of Habakkuk, because on Saturday morning, October 7, when we woke up to the sound of sirens and explosions, when thousands of missiles were shot toward, at this day, the south part of Israel, well, all the way to Tel Aviv, including Tel Aviv, including Jerusalem. This truth is hard to believe. Just hard to believe. And for almost 2 weeks, we got thousands of missiles a day. Every day, just keep coming. A few days after it started, Hezbollah from Lebanon joined the party. And they started to shoot as well, missiles from Lebanon. Now the Israeli army is well in Gaza, so we don't have many missiles from there, still coming here and there. But I tell you, from Lebanon, it's coming all the time. All the time. And the video that we are going to show you now was taken last Tuesday night, 3 days ago, and where a barrage of 30 missiles were shot at once, trying to check how much the Iron Dome can do. The 30 missiles caused some damage, nobody got killed. Because 20 of them fell in open places, 10 of them were taken care of by the Iron Dome. By the way, you met Ehud when the war began, he was here. He's the commander of an Iron Dome battery in the north. So that's what he's doing. I think that last time that he was sleeping was in the flight from America to Israel 4 months ago. I'm not sure that he's slept since then. But let me show you how it looks like. What you saw here is the Iron Dome hitting the coming missiles. But that's life in Israel now, basically. That's happening all the time. You never know. It keeps you in shape because you have to run to the shelter whenever it's happening. In some places you have 1 minute. Other places, you have 40 seconds. In our home, you have 30 seconds. If you go closer, 10 seconds. Sometimes, you know when it's happening, just when you hear the explosion. And as the war started this terrible Saturday morning, we face an enemy that is not less cruel than the one that Habakkuk talks about. Thousands of terrorists came into Israel by surprise, killed 1,200 civilians in half a day. They were slaughtered in their beds, in their homes. Women were raped before they were murdered or after they were murdered. Children were slaughtered while their parents forced to watch it. The buildings were put on fire. Almost 250 people were kidnapped into Gaza, among them 9 months old baby that did not come back yet. Holocaust survivors, women, men, old people, sick, whatever. 134 of them are still in the tunnel of Gaza. By the way, 8 of them having American citizenship. And on that day, on this very day, we, with the ministry that we work with, called One for Israel, we opened a kind of a headquarters to start to get supply and give it to the army units and to civilians that needed it. Orit basically runs this headquarters in the last 5 months, talking to the army units, any kind that you can think. A lot of the elite units in Israel, finding out what they need, and they find suppliers that can buy the stuff from them and then transfer it to the soldiers. So she's really speaking now like a soldier now, all the time. Her language became like a 20-year-old soldier. Our home looks very much like an army base, people coming and going. But that's what we do. And 2 days after the war started, I took a van that we rented and drove down to the south to meet soldiers and give them what we needed to give them, anything from helmet and vests to heaters and socks and food, whatever, you know, and drones. By the way, the drones was a donation from this very church. Unbelievable stuff that is getting there. And driving down to the south in the first few days was tough experience. Because I drove there, I was the only civilian on the road, all the rest were army and police. And everything was shut down, a lot of explosions all the time, and a lot of shotguns hearing, because inside the area were a few hundreds, if not a few thousands, terrorists still there. And the feeling was that we lost it all. I really thought that we lost it all. And as I do, from time to time, I write down my thinking. I always write down my thinking. I don't have much. Small notebook. But driving there, I wrote stuff like, "Woe to us, for the loss is so big." And I wrote, "I don't think that we will ever come back to the south. We lost it. It's not ours anymore." And I wrote to myself, "God, where are you? Where are you?" And then after 2 weeks, I met a guy, non-believer, that lived there. And he told me that every day he watered the gardens in the houses of those that left. Most of them, by the way, in Gaza. And he said, when they come back, they would like to see their flowers and their trees. So I drove out of this place after seeing a lot of stuff that it's not good for the eyes to see. And I wrote to myself, "Are you not from everlasting, my God, my Holy One, we will not die. We have hope. But you see, the dilemma that Habakkuk experienced was exactly my dilemma. I've been there, I saw it. And later on, all these writings on the way, I put it together and we made a song that we recorded and we filmed. And I want you to see it. So it's all in Hebrew. Good luck. But we do have subtitles in English, so you will be able to understand what is it all about. But you will see a little bit of what's going on there.
אוי לארצי, החוזה ברומסים, השורפים את הגן. אוי לארצי, הרואה את הדם ותמרוד העשן. אוי לקיבוץ, למושב ולעיר, אוי על אסון הכתוב על הקיר. אוי לארצי, הקורעת, קורסת בשל האובדן. התשובי עירי לסגשג ולפרוח, הישובו בנייך לחיות בקרבך. התשובי לראות בתנופה ופיתוח, הישובו בנינו לחסות בצילך. כיצד זה הפכה שבת של שלווה ליום מלחמה? כיצד יום שמחה הפך באחת ליום של אימה? אוי לעינינו שכך הן ראו, אוי על רבים יקרים שעבדו. היכן נקבל כוח לעוז בשביל של תקווה? התשובי עירי לסגשג ולפרוח, הישובו בנייך לחיות בקרבך. התשובי לראות בתנופה ופיתוח, הישובו בנינו לחסות בצילך. אורי ארצי, חי אלוהיך, קדוש ישראל. קומי חזקי, שאי את עינייך אלי הגואל. על הרס וצער תגבר התקומה. עוז לעמו ייתן אלוהים עמנואל. עוד תשובי עירי לסגשג ולפרוח, עוד ישובו בנייך לחיות בקרבך. עוד תשובי לראות בתנופה ופיתוח, עוד ישובו בנינו לחסות בצילך. וצער תגבר התקומה. עוז לעמו ייתן אלוהים עמנואל. על הייאוש תגבר התקווה, על הרס וצער תגבר התקומה. עוז לעמו ייתן אלוהים עמנואל.
So before we get into God's answer to the second dilemma, why does he use this kind of nation to punish us? We want to thank you all for your prayers and help during this time. Your contribution is very meaningful. For example, the drones that we could buy with your help saved lives of many, many soldiers. So instead of sending soldiers into a house or into a tunnel, they send a drone. We even know that one of the drones died, was shot when they sent him in. So thank you so much for this help, for being with us on this. We are not done yet, by the way. But it's warmed our heart, and we really, really thank you for this. Thank you. When God answered Habakkuk, as many times he would not answer the question that Habakkuk asked, but that's what he says. He says, I will stand on my, or Habakkuk says first, I will stand on my guard, on my guard post, and station myself on fortification, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may respond when I am reproved. Then Yahweh answered me and said, write down the vision and write it on tablets distinctly, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It pans toward its end and will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as far as the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. So I want to start with what Habakkuk is doing, because he's doing something very brave. He says, now I will stand on my guard post and listen. You see? Until now he was speaking. Now he says, now I will listen. Because when we complain and we talk, we are not listening. And when we complain, we always think about why somebody else is wrong. What is his fault? When we silence, we look inside and we can check where we are wrong. You see, there's the difference. And I saw Amir dealing with Chezi, and when he wants to tell Chezi that Chezi is doing something wrong, he tried to talk, but you know, Chezi is smart, huh? So he speaks all the time. He won't let him even open his mouth and speak and speak and speaks. And Amir tells him, okay, Chezi, be quiet. Be quiet, I want to talk to you. And until Amir can convince him to be quiet, Chezi is not listening. And then he says, I don't want you to do this, I don't want you to do that. When he's quiet, he can look inside. You see, that's the first thing that Habakkuk understands. So when I'm complaining, I cannot get an answer. When I shut my mouth, I can listen now, and maybe something will be better. By the way, it's not new, because when Moses complains against God, say, why did you take us, and why do you kill these people? God tell him, Moses, shh, listen to me now. When King Saul would not let Samuel speak to him, Samuel says, hey, Saul, shut up. I want to tell you what God told me last night. By the way, that's exactly what he says. You look later in 1 Samuel 15. So now, Habakkuk is willing to listen. God tells him, okay, Habakkuk, the time is not here yet come. The time will come. But that's not the main message. The main message is in verse 4. It says, behold, for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Ah, that's the answer. Okay, it sounds like it's not connected, but it is connected. It's exactly connected. Because what God said that when we complain, when I complain, I'm in the middle of the picture. It's about all about me. You see? When I listen to Him, it's all about Him. And in order to live, I need faith, not pride. Nobody can live by pride. I cannot do enough and to success enough to have eternal life. It doesn't work like this. That's the story. We know, right? We know that by grace we are saved through faith. This is not of ourselves, but it's a gift from God. Do we know it? I cannot live by my own achievement. I cannot live by being so good. Israel cannot live by having great army. We do have great army. Failed on October 7, right? Failed. People on motorcycle that drove through. Nobody was there. So yes, we have F-35. Thank you so much, you paid for it. Thank you. We have everything. But we live only by faith. We cannot do it without it. So God gave a practical answer to the dilemma. He says, when I will deliver Israel from the hands of the Chaldeans, when the time is right. When will God deliver Israel from the threat of Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran? When the time is right. When is going to fix our personal problems in work, in family, health problems? When the time is right. For us, he says, don't be proud. Have faith. And then you will live by your faith. We can be saved by faith. We cannot be saved by anything else. That's the answer for Habakkuk. That's the answer for us. Habakkuk did understand. In the next chapter, there is a wonderful, wonderful prayer that Habakkuk puts on. And I want just that we realize that nothing really changed between the time that he complains to the time that he's praising God. Only his mindset. That's the only thing that changed. So you see, between the time that I wrote, woe to us, we are going to lose it all, to the time that I wrote, God, I know that we will live, we will survive. Nothing really changed on the ground. But God graciously changed something in my heart and showed me that I need to live by faith and not by eyesight and not by what I think I can do or cannot do. Can we be humble enough before God and trust Him to deliver us as He promised in His timing? Let's pray. Thank you, God, so much for your love. Love that was given to us so richly. Much more than we deserve. Thank you for sending your Son to die for us and to deliver us from ourselves, from our sinful heart. Thank you for giving us the information and the Holy Spirit that we can believe, that we can live by faith. Thank you that you promised that we will not die. And even if our body dies, we will not die. We will live forever for you, with you. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for watching over our nation there in Israel, but also our nation here. Thank you for your goodness, because you are good and loving God. We praise you and we thank you. We ask that you will be glorified by us. In Jesus' name, amen.